city. Flickering dirty neon over alleys mean and dirty streets.
From a nightclub at the very cold end of the world, this is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, back with you again on the 5th of January. Oh. In the year 2014, the weather here in the San Luis Valley of Colorado is humbling, as it is all over much of the country today, tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday. We're having gusty winds here, up to 50. Sustained winds have been about 25, 30 all day. 15 degrees, wind chill 20 below. And it's been that way for a long time. It's getting worse. Of course, I'm aware of what's going on all around the rest of the now the upper Midwest, soon to be all of the Northeast, and all the major centers along there. They're just throwing record books out the window. And in the meantime, it's 130 degrees Fahrenheit in Australia. So yes, this is called climate chaos. Nothing has changed in the world from last week's show, from the three criteria that I gave out. Nuclear power is still being used all over the place. Fukushima is continuing to deteriorate, so are all nuclear reactors. Global warming, climate chaos is absolutely out of control and accelerating, as we can see and are experiencing. And infinite growth continues apace, with 250,000 or more new human beings entering the planet each day as 200 species go extinct. So none of the big things have changed. They're all killing us now faster than they were last week. That's the other part about this, is that the accelerated rate of exponential growth here is asymptotic, to use a Terence McKenna word. So, you know, that's what's going on. That's the context that I come to you tonight. There was a great comment on my Facebook page after last week's show from a guy named DL who wrote, MCR's page has attracted many thanks to his dedication, quality control, and passion. Its popularity is another of those double-edged blades. Humans respond differently to the terrifying realities unfolding before us. It's bound to get messy and emotional at junctures. Often hearts will rule heads as we attempt to digest the undigestible. Too many blurts, ill-thought-through comments, and patience-sapping irrelevant threads. Mike's investigative energies must have been depleted at times in the service of educating the community he created. Needing to connect with other folk who see impending human extinction, I gravitated first to Mike's page. How else to maintain sanity amid an ocean of ignorance, apathy in our circle of family and friends? The silence in the real world was suffocating. I doubt I've added anything of substance to the discussions, but I felt comforted to be a part of a community, at least acknowledging the terminal plight of mankind. Of humankind. Maybe I've been a part of the problem, he writes. There have been several comments over the last days eschewing leaders and reinforcing the collective identity of the forum. I utterly respect Mike's decision, but would be disingenuous if I said I didn't feel a sense of regret and loss that a man of such integrity, intellect, and engaging personality is stepping down. Well, thank you, DL, but I have not stepped down. Everybody needs to get that. I've quit wasting time. I'm a tracker. I am still on the track. And over the course of the last few months, the trail, the track of the truth has changed direction markedly, and I would not be able to stay on the trail of it if I had continued to operate the way I was operating on Facebook. This is really not much different from the evolution that I underwent when I left CollapseNet in May of 2012. I could not ring truth for you. I could not track the truth for you if I was trapped in a prison of reading all the news stories and just the news stories every day that were sent by Jenna Orkin and the wonderful Rice Farmer, both of them, because the truth wasn't to be found there. I was spinning my wheels, and that's exactly what it came to be. So now tonight I get to not spin my wheels because I got some traction. You know, and there's some things to talk about, which are so amazing when compared with those of you who have been with me for a long time, what I have been telling you for a great many years and decades, the message that I have carried. And I'm assuming that most of you tonight are familiar with my walk. And that's why this show is going to be especially important to you, because it's going to blow your mind. Yes, we're going into Terrence McKenna tonight because there are answers there. That's where I am finding the truth, a truth which resonates deeply within me. And that's how I've been led through all of the walk that I have walked, as I've listened to my heart, followed my heart, and gone with what felt right. And I know it when it does. So I'd ask some questions. Does or doesn't nature have a purpose? Now, that's a very important question. And here nature is not just the trees, the plants, the birds, the water. Nature is also all of the physical reality around you, the structures, the physical Cartesian Newtonian reality. Does this physical existence have a purpose, yes or no? Was there intelligence behind it? Or is this, as Cartesian Newtonian science would have us believe, just some kind of freak accident where consciousness happened as an accident that has no purpose? I think the answer is clearly, of course it does. And we're seeing that all around. And I'm not just talking about the weather. We'll get into that more tonight. One of the great things that I picked up from Terrence McKenna and listening to, let me say this about McKenna. He is not just some smart guy who talked a lot about psychedelics. He is, from my experience, and I have to say this, and I am not bragging about myself. I am saying this to make a point because I feel absolutely inferior next to this mind. I was in 1978. I took the tests for Mensa, and my IQ was measured at 161, 163, and 169. And as I have listened to now maybe 50 hours of Terrence McKenna lectures, and my exposure is asymptotic also, I have been awed and humbled by a man who was not just an ethnobotanist as a scientist, but he was a mathematician, he was an anthropologist, he was an archaeologist, he was a literary genius, he was a linguist, he could talk particle physics, he did highly advanced mathematical calculations, and he is the most amazing mind I have ever listened to in my life. And I have been kind of in an immersion with McKenna of late because, I was totally ready to hear these messages and they are resonating completely. One of the things I got from him recently was this amazing observation because he talks about human beings as being a cross between monkeys and gods trapped in this physical Cartesian prison. And he noted that humans share a gene that all primates and all simians have in common, and it's a gene for male dominance. It is a gene which leads the male to dominate, and both male and female carry the gene, so all humankind is responsible. And this gene it prioritizes absolutely the anticipation and seeking out of threats. And that's where male dominance comes from. And since we know a little bit about consciousness, that consciousness, what consciousness vibrates, it produces. And are we not living in a world that looks a lot like that? So recently, as a matter of fact, just about a week before the big changes last week, I have been consciously rejecting the gene that I carry with all primates and all simians that calls for the urge to male dominance. I reject it. It's a conscious rejection. So that's something I got from McKenna this week. But now here's a great question. As we who listen to the show every week and we have a clue as to what's really going on in the world and how bad it is and how much worse it is getting on a daily basis, hourly basis, minute-to-minute basis, can anybody out there possibly imagine history going on for another 500 years like this? At the rate of change and deterioration that's all around? No, of course not. Now, here is where I found an amazing gift. We will talk about this more later because I'm going to play a clip from McKenna here. But this is the truth that I am tracking now in a way in which I am much more effective because I am unencumbered by stuff that doesn't produce results. I'm on the track. In 2010, I was speaking in New York at an event in Soho, I guess it was, And the usual suspects were there, Peter Dale Scott, Cynthia McKinney, Dick Gregory, blah, blah, blah. It was not a fun event. It seemed to be have been engineered to keep me awake for 3 or 4 days because I started filming a two-hour special for History called The Prophets of Doom after getting no sleep there for 3 days. But I remember in that fatigue state, I was speaking, and words came out of my mouth which resonated with me, like some of the great lines that have stuck with me forever. And I was so angry, and I said, and it's a quote that has stayed with me, "We will live and we will function in the space in between the ones and the zeros of Cartesian tyranny." The ones and zeros of Cartesian tyranny. Well, it's become increasingly obvious that Cartesian Newtonian science explains less and less and less of the reality that we are living in, faster and faster. Cartesian Newtonian science has no answers for the problems that have been created on this planet. And evil is only possible, I really get this, in the world of Cartesian Newtonian reality, this prison that we live in, that is ever increasingly exposed as a lie. So I want to play the first clip from McKenna. It's from one of his great videos. And I have to say this also about him. There is such a wealth of material out there. It's all in audio video tapes that you can find easily on YouTube, or you can go to the Matrix Masters, which has a large catalog, not very easy to search, but probably the most complete collection of McKenna material. I recommend jumping into the rabbit hole with it, so to speak. But this is from one of his lectures, many. I have no idea when I'm ever going to exhaust this. I just found another 10-hour tape today. But and it's hard to find these clips. It's kind of a trip all by itself without mushrooms. This is from the Taxonomy of Illusion that I believe was done in 1994. I can check on that. But we're going to play this 8-minute clip, and then we're kind of going to come back with this, and I think we're going to come out of this show tonight really having a much clearer understanding of what the heck is really going on. Here's Terrence McKenna.
We don't. I mean, I really believe that we are being asked to participate in the birthing of a new order of being, and that there is reason for great optimism and hope, because it looks like we're just boring into solid rock. But in fact, there's somebody else boring through that solid rock, and they have triangulated our approach, and they are hurrying to meet us. I don't think we fell into this situation because of bad fate or bad destiny. This is part of the process. History is what happens when an animal species, an advanced animal, falls under the influence of a transformative attractor of some sort. History is only about 25,000 years in duration. The interesting part in the last 5,000 years, what has happened is that something confounding has entered the local situation, or was always dormant there but has stirred to wakefulness. And it is not God, not the God that in Milton's wonderful phrase hung the lamps like stars in heaven. It isn't that God. Maybe it's the God of biology, but whatever it is, it is to us as we are to the termite. And what it is doing is it is casting an enormous transcendental shadow back through time over the epigenetic landscape of biological becoming. And in our species, for reasons mysterious to me, we mirror this thing. And it has swung our compass away from the forward flow of genetic theme and variation, and in a course orthogonal to biology, a course set on the transcendental. And it is pulling us toward it through the medium of transforming our languages through the medium of the imagination, which is, after all, this mysterious mental domain in which we are whispered to by angels, demons, gods, ancestors, aliens, and out of that intercourse, culture, self-transforming, shedding its face every 100 years, building on novelty, is ascending toward a reaching out toward the unspeakable. This has been going on, I think, for billions of years. It has obviously and incontrovertibly been going on since the advent of consciousness in the human species. And now we're there. We're in the final domain of the confrontation with the secret. It is impossible to conceive of history going on for hundreds of years. The planet cannot sustain it. All of these social structures and institutions that we have surrounded ourselves with are obviously lifeboats. They are not made to last. They are made to carry us to a certain point in the life of the Earth, and we are now there, or we are within 20, 30, 40, 50 years of confronting the transcendental object at the end of time that drew us out of the animal body. History is the proof and the shockwave of the eschaton. This is a hard thing for secular audiences to wrap their minds around because they're familiar with hearing this from rattlesnake-handling Christers. But that's simply because religion has always been the repository of the irrational intuition. It never said that the irrational intuition is ipso facto false. It becomes a travesty when hung with the trappings of dogma derived through the scholarly revelation of weasels. But the intuition is pristine, and the intuition of Islam, Judaism, Christianity, and cults innumerable is that there is a finiteness to the historical experience. And then the more staid the ontology, the further into the future they put it, so they can continue trading real estate for the next little while. I think that it is now possible to extrapolate the curves that describe our degradation of the planet, the spread of epidemic diseases, the ozone hole, the extraction of metals, the clearing of the rainforest, the rise of population, the spread of toxic compounds, so forth, to see, to convince yourself, even from a rational point of view, that history is a self-limiting process. Well, if you're a rationalist, then you must conclude we're just headed for extinction. I would think then the rational response to that logical process would be to get your ass in gear and try and avert the extinction. And if you're not a rationalist, then the conclusion you draw from all that is that we are within striking distance of merging with the mysterious hyperspatial source of our intelligence, and that somehow this is a planetary birthing, something as scripted as the breakup of Pangaea or the movement of glaciers south from the pole. It's just part of the process. Culture exists to transform mind out of the domain of matter. We are rising toward the rarefaction of ourselves into the transcendental plasmate body of alchemical and Buddhist preoccupation. This is what is calling us out of matter. It's what called the monkeys out of animal organization. It's what calls technology out of the restless hands of the hominids. And it is what is calling all of us toward a kind of fusion with the community, with the psychedelic totality of the species, and with the larger Gaian totality of the planet. This is what it all went for. This is the promise and the redemption of history. Without this redemption, then history becomes the abortion that materialists fear it is. This is why the legitimate path to the transcendental, the linking of the individual with the transcendental through psychedelics, now becomes the most important political work that can be done in the light of the rising awareness of the end of history.
Thank you very much.
That was a head full. But let me expand on that a little bit, because this is another point he makes, and this is absolutely the conclusion that I have reached after my work, my tracking for 35 years. Nobody is in control. I remember I used to get asked back in the early days, the late 90s and the early 2000s when I was lecturing all over the place. And people would always want to talk about the Masons, the Illuminati, the Skull and Bone Society, and I've always had this position clearly because I was convinced then, and it turns out McKenna and I totally agree on this. And my stock answer was, if I ever meet any one person who is a member of Skull and Bones, the Illuminati, the Mafia, CIA, all of these secret societies, propaganda, due. If I ever meet any one man who is a member of all of those, I'll kill him. Because I did not believe then, and I do not believe now, that anybody is in real control of this. And human experience is telling me that nobody is in control of what the hell's going on in the world all around us. Nobody knows how to stop the beast. It is a meme. A meme is the simplest form of an idea that has overpowered. In other places, McKenna talks about how we have created institutions which overpower us. He might have referred to that here too. You know, that and these institutions are like runaway trains. Nobody's at the switch. I don't think that if we pointed a gun or at Jamie Dimon's head or at, you pick somebody, the Queen of England's head, the Rothschilds, pick somebody. I don't think that if we could find the right number of people that if we pointed a gun at their head right now and said, stop this, they would know how to stop it. And this goes into a deeper level of stuff about consciousness. Which McKenna had so clearly. Now, his portal into that was through psychedelics. And he was, a huge advocate of mushroom, psilocybin, and DMT and ayahuasca. Now, let me say this about McKenna because most people don't know it. He was a scientist. He was an accomplished scientist across many disciplines. I mean, professors and graduate students would go to, professors would send graduate students to go listen to him to get ideas for their PhD papers across a wide range of subjects. And he was totally one of the most conscientious and considerate men when it comes to drugs that I have ever encountered throughout the course of his lectures. Down to knowing chemically exact precise dosages and everything else and never recommending anything that was harmful. And as a matter of fact, DMT is about one of the least harmful substances physically in the world. There are ways that he recommended. But what's interesting now about the psychedelic doorway is that, and I know there are many of you listening to the show tonight who have gobbled many grams of mushrooms and who have done DMT and who have done ayahuasca, and so, we can share. But what I am seeing now, and this is maybe where I'm starting to move the ball that McKenna left a little bit further, is that we are approaching a time when those of us who have had psychedelic experiences or spiritual experiences from spiritual practices such as Sundance, Sweat Lodges, Vision Quest, things like that, We know that the other side is there. We have been allowed to walk the other side. And what psychedelics do and why they are so, well, I don't think they are so. They're becoming much more acceptable now because they're working. You got people like me, Graham Hancock, Joe Rogan, McKenna, so that's a fine group of people for me to be in, and I'm proud to walk in that group. But what I'm getting is that people are starting to understand about contact with the other side, if you will, without even having had the experience, because that's what our physical reality in itself is coming to be. This is all too unreal to even contemplate, which is what's giving so many people such a hard time if they can't break free of the Newtonian Cartesian prison. It's the meme that's killing us. And before we go to break, this is going to work out perfectly. I gave a speech in Portland, Oregon, September 11. It's one of the best speeches I ever gave. Forget the endorsement for Ross Perot up front. That was before he sold us all out, but that's all right. About how fast the universe changes, how fast history changes. Do you remember when Occupy was important, when the election was important? Do you remember when Turkey was important or your mortgage was important? The rate of acceleration is changing in history. History is accelerating rapidly. But what I said clearly was in that speech, that whoever wrote the first six books of the Bible, especially Genesis, which separated man from the universe, was a false god. And in one of his lectures, I heard McKenna say clearly that consciousness, the evolving consciousness of monkey that was had been tapped with consciousness to evolve into godhood status, we are evolving just as the monkeys did, and we've exhausted the limits. It had to separate, consciousness had to separate itself from matter to be able to ruthlessly explore it and control it. Interesting that an angel visited Rene Descartes in his sleep. This is something McKenna, who was such a genius, revealed, and told Descartes that the mastery of matter would be obtained by numbers and measurement. There's the prison. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth. I am very much on it, and we're going to talk more about that after we take this break right here. We're on the Lifeboat Hour at PRN-FM. We'll be right back. Ears and eyes off. That's It Would Be Strange from New White Trash's first album, newwhitetrash.com. Double Wide was the album. All right, we're back onto this thread that we were on, and I want to get right back to it. So what psychedelics do, and this is by way of preface to getting to these other amazing points, is most people have never tried mushrooms, DMT, ayahuasca, misconceive or misperceive that they might encounter some horrible things from their subconscious or their psyche that are going to, scare them and frighten them and all that. The point is, truthfully, is that anybody who's had the experience will tell you that what you encounter is something completely outside of yourself, something over which you have no control, that is real, that has consciousness, that has intent, that has purpose, that communicates, that is completely different, that, if you will, totally violates the laws of physical reality. Anybody who's had a good trip knows that one completely. You have a few grams of mushrooms and the floor under your feet dissolves. That's happened. You experience a reality that is other, that is different than yourself. And this is what the prison of Cartesian Newtonian 3D reality wants to keep you locked into. But it is clear that if you stay locked in that prison, you're going to die, and you will face that eschaton, that end point, that end. And the I love the term eschaton. Now, this causes a lot of people a great deal of trouble because they just see it as when, you're at a theater and the screen just goes black. Everything stops and consciousness ceases, which we pretty much know is not true, especially with the revelations in particle physics that we've talked about so many times and with so many people here. Well, what McKenna said so clearly is that the meme had to explore to the limits of the mastery of matter. It was a course that had to be taken all the way to the end. Now, when we talk about the end, you might have different reactions, but let me ask everyone who's listening tonight, do we not want to see an end to fracking? Do we not want to see an end to tar sands? Do we not want to see an end to global warming? Do we not want to see an end to nuclear power? Do we not want to see an end to the almost limitless psychotic sociopathic cruelty that the current paradigm is manufacturing in buckets, hand over fist? Yeah, of course we want to see an end to that. And that end is defined by the limits of physical reality. There is a built-in end to this. Now, that makes me think and respond and react in a completely different way. Because what it tells me is that there is an end to this insanity. And that is the end that is coming with the eschaton. That is the end that is coming with a certainty of our extinction due to the causes that are out abundantly on the table right now. Now, that's also had some deep impact on me, because if you followed my walk for any length of time, you know that I have met some really bad, evil, nasty, vicious people in my life, many of whom have done me and all of us in the world, it's not just personal, great, vicious, mean harm. We're talking murders where, you know, that I know of, you know, crimes that we all know of that all make us sick, not to mention the extinction of 200 species a day. And now if I come to look at this in this perspective, because I want when I die, and I think all of us feel the same way, I want at the moment that I transit, that I metamorphosis out of this consciousness in this body, graduation, for it to have made some kind of sense. And that's, of course, a monstrous question for all of us, is making sense of this. Now, one of the things that has come as a result of staying deeply in McKenna understanding all this is that all of that meanness historically for the last, let's say, 7,000 years, let's say, however long you want to start it, ever since the male gene reasserted itself when the psilocybin mushrooms disappeared. I so hope that if you have not had the DMT experience, you will, the ayahuasca experience, you will, the mushroom experience, you will. There are guidelines out there because what happens is that now you are now living in a world where you know you have seen the actuality of this other reality, because what's coming, I totally believe, is a moment in time when these realities that are normally experienced under the influence of psychedelic drugs will be happening in our real conscious experience in this world. And how many times does Terence McKenna warn over and over that the only risk is that you will die of astonishment? The only risk is that you will die of astonishment, and I would like people to be less astonished. And in other places, McKenna likened psychedelic and shamanic psychedelic usage to calisthenics in preparation for the marathon into infinity. It is a great prep, and you know, but you don't, because some of this stuff I know is making sense to lots of people who do not intend to probably partake of psychedelics, but they are looking at the world around us, and we are all seeing that it is becoming psychedelic all by itself, and there ain't no drugs involved. So, having reached that point, I have found a measure of peace in places as I reject the male dominant monkey gene that makes me always conditioned to look for a threat, and that's all we manufacture is threats. To also understand that all of the evil that has been done was a necessary part of the evolution from the prison that McKenna says we have been in for these 25,000 years called history, as we metamorphosis from caterpillar to butterfly, and this 3D world is the chrysalis. Now, all of that said, I think it's time for a song. And, you know, you all know the format of this show. You know, I have some singer-songwriting credentials, and I mix the music with the madness, and that is such an essential part for me. And back in the 90s, after I confronted the CIA director, John Deutsch, some hip-hop and groups would take my spoken word and put that to hip-hop music, and that happened with three or four tracks. I did not, however, like Terrence McKenna, go double platinum with a rave song. And you can now listen to him in this nightclub at the end of the world, where we have always brought music. Listen to Terrence McKenna do the music and listen to his words. With that, open your consciousness. This is a song called Evolution. And the group is called The Shaman, S-H-A-M-E-N, because it's a group of men, The Shaman. And what they did was they interviewed Terrence McKenna in like 1991 when he was 42. I didn't go to my first rave club until 2005 when I was 53. Never mind, that's a separate story. But they interviewed McKenna, and he made statements, and then they put rave music around it. And Terrence McKenna was a big fan of rave. So here is a song that went double platinum, more than 2 million copies in Great Britain, 1991-92, called Evolution, and Terrence McKenna.
If the truth can be told so as to be understood, it will be believed. Human history represents such a radical break with the natural systems of biological organization that preceded it, that it must be the response to a kind of attractor or dwell point that lies ahead in the temporal dimension. Persistently, Western religions have integrated into their theologies the notion of a kind of end of the world. And I think that a lot of psychedelic experimentation sort of confirms this intuition. I mean, it isn't going to happen according to any of the scenarios of Orthodox religion, but the basic intuition that the universe seeks closure in a kind of omega point of transcendence is confirmed. It's almost as though this object in hyperspace, glittering in hyperspace, throws off reflections of itself, which actually ricochet into the past, illuminating this mystic, inspiring that saint or visionary, and that out of these fragmentary glimpses of eternity, we can build a kind of map of not only the past of the universe and the evolutionary ingression into novelty, but a kind of map of the future. This is what shamanism has always been about. A shaman is someone who has been to the end. It's someone who knows how the world really works. And knowing how the world really works means to have risen outside, above, beyond the dimensions of ordinary space-time and casuistry, and actually seen the wiring under the board, stepped outside the confines of learned culture and learned and embedded language into the domain of what Wittgenstein called the unspeakable, the transcendental presence of the other, which can be sectioned in various ways to community. So in the context of 90% of human culture, the shaman has been the agent of evolution, because the shaman learns the techniques to go between ordinary reality and the domain of the ideas. This higher dimensional continuum that is somehow parallel to us, available to us, and yet ordinarily excluded by the cultural convention out of fear of the mystery, I believe. And what shamans are people who have been able to decondition themselves from the community's instinctual distrust of the mystery, and to go into it, to go into this bewildering higher dimension and gain knowledge, recover the jewel lost at the beginning of time, save souls, cure, commune with the ancestors, and so forth and so on. A shamanism is not a religion, it's a set of techniques. And the principal technique is the use of psychedelic plants. What psychedelics do is they dissolve boundaries. And in the presence of dissolved boundaries, one cannot continue to close one's eyes to the ruination of the earth, the poisoning of the seas, and the consequences of 2,000 years of unchallenged dominator culture based on monotheism, hatred of nature, suppression of the female, and so forth and so on. So what shamans have to do is act as exemplars by making this cosmic journey to the domain of the Gaian ideas, and then bringing them back in the form of art to the struggle to save the world. The planet has a kind of intelligence that it can actually open a channel of communication with an individual human being. The message that nature sends is transform your language through a synergy between electronic culture and the psychedelic imagination, a synergy between dance and idea, a synergy between understanding and intuition, and dissolve the boundaries that your culture has sanctioned between you. Become part of this Gaian supermind. I mean, I think it's fairly profound. It's fairly apocalyptic. History is ending. I mean, we are to be the generation that witnesses the revelations, the purposes, the cosmos. History not a moment too soon.
And not a moment too soon. That's an amazing snapshot of the life and the career of Terence McKenna. And he talks in that, and he mentions it in several places, he talks about the attractor, this thing that has been pulling us toward it, which is the eschaton moment. And I would submit that we're entering that now. Not going to. I think we're entering that now. Because things are only going to get stranger, tougher, more challenging. We are going to be challenged to the absolute limits, but that is what is required to understand that matter has been, if you will, mastered by consciousness. And this is where I'm very grateful to McKenna, Terence, for having talked about the fact that novelty, that the universe has a predilection. We asked at the top of the hour, does nature have a purpose? And it favors novelty, and it favors ever more increasing complex orders of organization. And we have exceeded, in terms of consciousness, what matter can allow us to do. So we are encountering those limits, and I look forward to the end of fracking. I look forward to the end of evil. I look forward to the end of war. That's all of what's coming, as well as all this other stuff that we think of that may be bad. This is the end of reality as we have known it. This is the end of reality as we have known it, but a greater real reality, which I've been taking some effort to lay out for you guys, is knocking at the door. And for me, if my name is Tracker of Truth, the attractor that has drugged me through my whole entire life like a rag doll has been the attractor. This thing which Terence talks about, that is tunneling toward us as fast as we are tunneling toward it. It is our moment of liberation. And I'm, you know, absolutely convinced that those who approach this with an attitude of curiosity, with a deep, deep, deep hunger to know the truth, and who are open to that, will have a much, much easier time when these realities start manifesting in our lives. Then will people who have a need to hold on to, cling to, and defend Cartesian, Newtonian reality, which is less and less capable of even dealing with the realities that we find ourselves in on a daily basis. They don't know how to fix Fukushima. They don't know how to stop global warming. There's no place to go. There's nobody to go, throw up against the wall and say, fix this, turn it off, because nobody knows how. The meme is driving everything now, and it is nearing its ineluctable, its unavoidable conclusion, and we're in it. This is the moment where Earth and what's happening on this planet now is a ringside seat for all of creation to watch, to participate in, to share in. I'll be going deeper on this. Now this is, I'm still tracking truth, and I had to share these important insights with you because, man, this is just ringing so absolutely true after all the years of my life and all the things that I have written and I have said. I cannot count how many times I have heard Terence McKenna talk as far back as 91, 95, that, you know, about the essential concepts of peak oil, infinite growth on a finite planet. All of these things were abundantly clear to him back then. There were two things he got wrong, only that I have heard thus far, and they are so minor. He thought gays would never be allowed into the military, and he thought marijuana would never be legalized. But those have come to pass. But by way of saying that, what I'm also saying is that those two minor points only serve to underscore the profound nature of the things that he got right. What I strongly recommend if this is resonating with you at all, and if this has resonated with you at all, go to YouTube or go to Matrix Masters, and I have some ideas about that for future shows, and just jump in the rabbit hole. I am currently listening to a tape called, what's it called? Hold on, I'll tell you. Okay, In the Valley of Novelty, which is an 8-hour tape. There are 10-hour tapes out there. There are smaller clips. He was the most prolific speaker that I have ever heard, and he is just a treat to listen to because of the broad versatility of his mind across so many disciplines and sciences, and to make it all, if you will, unified, because that's what we're looking for in these last days, weeks, months, whatever they are. I, for one, absolutely cannot conceive of history continuing as it is now for any length of time at all. And I'm sure that most of you, if you think about it, pretty much have to feel the same way. So this is a big jumping off point. And I think we're so close to the door, we may have actually in some respects even crossed over in some areas energetically already. But I will be holding in my consciousness, and as I continue to work all next week on next week's show, this stuff, and as I dig deeper into some of what he said, I will be looking for events in the world which confirm that. I've got one last clip, and then I'm going to sign off. This is a short clip from Terrence McKenna. It's called Approaching the Eschaton. This is Michael C. Rupert. I'm going to leave you with this and close the show with a Tracker of Truth. I will be back with you with more of what I have found on the track next week here on PRN FM. Here's McKenna, Approaching the Eschaton. Good night.
Are touched by deep magic.
What the universe is doing is it is under the sway of what I call the transcendental object at the end of time. Eschaton is a good word out of theology. It simply means the last thing. Concrescence is the idea of something that grows together. It concresses. It becomes more dense, more connected, more defined in space and time. And when I talk about the transcendental object at the end of time, or the coming of the eschaton, I mean that the process of the human and biological concrescence of intent reaches some kind of maximum. And we are about to take the step out of matter. The planet is on a collision course with the most profound event it's possible to imagine. The freeing of organic life from the chrysalis of matter. An event of cosmic significance and importance is going to occur not far in the future. Are we causing it? No. Can we stop it? No. Can we hurry it? No. It's built in to the structure of matter itself. The laws of physics are evolving to permit greater freedom. Concrescence is the end of the process of becoming. Becoming is not true being. True being exists at the concrescence. Matter and organizational processes are about to make some kind of a leap to a new order of being. And I believe as historical processes intensify, it's reasonable to believe that we are ever closer to the eschaton. Processes are now in play which so totally rewrite the script that the future is exploding in an asymptotic unfoldment into a kind of cultural superspace. Novelty increases as we approach the present moment. The universe you and I are living in is a far more novel and complicated place than the early universe was. well, some people would say, well, that's just a consequence of the unfolding of developmental processes. But this asks the question, what are developmental processes? Why should the universe have a preference for order over disorder? The psychedelic experience seems to be the anticipatory experience of this eschaton that we're headed toward. It gets you used to the idea that the world is not what it appears to be, and it gets you used to the idea that the world is somehow animate, intelligent, and proceeding along its own agenda. That is how you get out of linear history. That's how you visit the realm of the ancestors. That's how you travel into the future. That's how you break up the tyranny of Newtonian serial time. History is the shockwave which precedes the eschaton. This is what it's like when a species prepares to depart for the stars. The entire destiny of all life on the planet is tied up in this. We happen to be the point species on a transformation that will affect every living organism on this planet at its conclusion. We must give reverence and credence to nature and nature's methods, because no other methods will allow us to work our way out of the present mess we're in. We are a part of a morphogenetic intent and an unfolding reality that is larger than human understanding. What history is the 25,000-year transition zone. Before you enter the zone, you're an animal. After you leave the zone, you're a god. But for 25,000 years, you're kind of an animal and kind of a god. We can put up with about anything, and it's a good thing, because we're going to be tested to the limits, ever closer to the eschaton. If my ideas seem strange to someone, I ask them, can you imagine this planet in 500 years?
Yeah.